Odyssey fans, I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse Magazine. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Well, it's happened again, Jesse.
Yeah? What?
Each year, as the days get shorter, the evenings get cooler, and the calendar gets ever thinner, we come to the end of another season and another album on Adventures in Odyssey.
And what an album it was! I think album 69, Best Kept Secrets, was one of the most eventful ones in recent memory. You had the Rydell Revelations three-parter that explained everything going on with Maury, Suzu, Emily, Matthew, Olivia, Zoe, Mr. Whitaker, and Mrs. Mado.
And a few characters that we won't talk about, just in case our listeners haven't heard the Rydell Revelations yet.
Fair enough. But consider this a warning, listeners. We'll be talking about these episodes in spoilerific detail on the podcast soon, so don't put off listening any longer.
And that wasn't all that happened in album 69. You also had For a Song, where Jules started composing music.
Oh, and California Dreams, where she moved back to, California. Part one aired last weekend, and part two, the album finale, airs this weekend.
This two-parter features an original song called I'm Just Me. It was orchestrated by John Campbell and sung by Shona Rodman, but it was composed by Warren Sellers.
Let's talk to Warren about how he got connected with Odyssey and the process of creating a song for Jules.
Welcome to the podcast, Warren.
Hey, good to meet all of you and talk to you more.
You know, it's always fun to hear a name for the first time during the closing credits of an Odyssey episode. It's kind of like welcoming a new member to the family. And that's what happened at the end of California Dreams. So tell us about yourself and how you became a lyricist and composer.
Well, I grew up in L.A. in the 60s and 70s, and that music really informed my life. And I just fell into loving songs, loving the way they were written, and then started really at a young age writing songs that sounded like I was at a young age, and it just never stopped. I pursued it. I learned it. I got to where I began to teach it. And so it's just been such a part of my whole makeup. I think I wrote my first song when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So talk about your process. Do you always approach songwriting the same way?
You know, I almost always start with what we call a hook, which is just an idea, a place I'm going to land. So it tells me kind of where I'm going to begin because I kind of know where I'm going. That said, I co-write a lot. Probably 75% of the time I write with other writers. And we just say, who's got the best idea? And we throw these ideas out and then we pick the best one. But there are times where I just start off with something that just feels good to me. It just connects. But here's what it always comes down to. I'm always trying to find a brand new way to say the same old thing.
And what would you say that same old thing boils down to?
Well, everything's been written before, right? There's nothing new under the sun that way. But since it's all been said, I don't want to say it the same way again. I want to find a new version. If I'm going to say I love you, I'm going to find a new way to say it, a new picture, a new something. And no matter what genre of music I'm writing in, I want to find something that I think to myself immediately, okay, I haven't heard that before. It doesn't sound like a Hallmark card. I can't stand to write that kind of thing. And I'm not a big fan of bumper sticker songs necessarily. It just depends. And some of those things are good. It's just that they've been done and done and done. So I'm always trying to go, is that fresh?
Yeah, I love how you said that. It reminds me of something Dean Merrill said. Dean started most of the magazines here at Focus on the Family, and he said, as you wrote, he said, picture a landfill of words, right? Everything that's been written in the past is heaping, stinking landfill of words. And he said, what can you write that'll make it a more beautiful place, a fresher smelling place? And that's exactly what you're doing with your songwriting. So I think that's really cool.
What a great way to put it. Yep.
Bob, is it true you found Warren through a mutual friend? And what was that connection?
Well, back in my plugged-in days, I became friends with a number of Christian singers and songwriters, including Scott Crepane.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Scott?
Of course,
some great songs. So during the Odyssey writers meeting, when we realized we needed a pop song for California Dreams, I offered to call Scott. Unfortunately for us, he was right in the middle of a huge project, and he just couldn't commit to it. But fortunately for us, he immediately thought of Warren and introduced us. So Warren, when that took place, what went through your mind?
Well, I'm always excited to become part of a project where a song actually has a place to live. Because as a songwriter by trade, so many of the songs you write never see the light of day. So you're always looking to write with a purpose. And Scott and I were great friends, and we've written probably 30, 40 songs together. talented guy. We write well together. He's written so many things, different genres, but including the Paw Patrol theme song, which is a huge thing, you know?
Yep. I got a 5-year-old granddaughter, so yes, that's...
Well, there you go.
Heard that more than a few times. So share some of the direction that the Odyssey team gave you with what they wanted from this song. Did they tell you about the story or about Jules? What did you have going in?
Exactly that. It was that Jules was kind of a budding singer-songwriter and was writing really organic, honest stuff about her as a person. And then the story was going to unfold where it was going to take her outside of all of that and into places he was not comfortable going. And she had to kind of come to a place of saying, well, is that okay with me or not? So the song needed to live in a couple different incarnations, if you will.
Hmm.
Right. And you talked about starting with a hook. And when you think about this song, be it musically or lyrically, what was the hook that really got things started?
Well, when I heard of the story and I read through the script, I thought, well, okay, so I'm looking for that fresh approach. And I thought, well, that they've taken her and they've changed her. So in my head, I thought, well, what she's trying to say is, I'm just me. I'm not that person you're trying to turn me into.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. How long did the initial draft of the song take you?
You know, it wasn't like working all day on something. You know, I get going on something, and then when it stays fresh, I work anyway on it. So I don't know how long in time, but, you know, it was over the course of a few days of just coming back to it, you know, and I look at it like sculpting. There's a big block of something there, and I'm chipping away at stuff. So I go, oh yeah, I'm starting to see something now. That looks like something. That feels like something to me.
Oh, that's cool. And then you, again, keep chiseling, keep forming. You get input, of course. You recorded a scratch track for this one with just yourself and a guitar, and then you sent it to the Odyssey team. So what was their reaction, and what kind of adjustments did they ask for?
Well, they really loved it, which was great. The first thing they thought immediately was there needs to be a certain kind of a tempo feel to it. And I came out of the gate, if you will, a little slower, thinking of the character, and I was picturing her singing it a certain way. But it was a little slower than what they needed because it was also going to be turned into this more of a pop song. Huh. And so we needed to make some adjustments there. And I think that was the main focus, really.
Yeah, and I can take partial blame for that because I think in our initial conversation, Warren, we had talked about it being a ballad. I think, and my understanding of what a ballad was and your understanding were a little bit different, and it came in a little slower. And of course, we only have a 25-minute program, and it was a wonderful treatment, but it was needed to be picked up simply because of the pace of the show. So that was one of those pieces of information that you probably could have used earlier, and we're sorry.
all good here, but yeah, when I hear ballad, I slow with everything really, you know, a long way down in terms of tempo and all that kind of stuff. But in the end, it all made sense to me.
And Shona, the actress who plays Jules, she has kind of a unique voice and asked for a specific key for the song. Did she have any other requests for you?
You know, honestly, not that I remember, other than that one thing. That's all that I remember. So if she had more feelings about it, other than I heard that she really liked it, so I was really happy with that. But I don't remember hearing any other specific things from her, to be honest.
Well, at this point, Warren, you still weren't done. It was time for you to head into the studio to record individual tracks. What are those, and how do you lay those down?
Well, when I gave you the first recording, it was literally me playing it and singing it live, just into a very basic recording, just so that we all heard it and understood it and see what we wanted to do with it. When you go from there, I went into the studio to lay down individual tracks. So now we're going to do a click track with the tempo that's counting out the time on its own. Then we're going to do a guitar track by itself. And then we're going to do a vocal track by itself. And if there's a harmony track, we're going to do that by themselves so we can separate them all out and manipulate them or just do individual things with them so we have control over all the pieces.
Mm. Ah. That's really cool. And speaking of cool, it's my favorite time of the podcast where we get to ask our
TRQ
or totally random question. And this one comes from Eugene Melsner, although I don't believe it's the real Eugene.
I don't think so.
No. But he asks, what's the weirdest job you've ever had?
I can tell you exactly. When I was 21, and one of the little side jobs I took was from an old English teacher I had, and he was, it was back in the days when video was just really becoming a thing, and he was doing an insurance video for different clients in their house, so you could show the valuables that you have on video. But the list that he gave me of people to cold call all thought I was up to something. And it was very, I was explaining to people over the course of the evening, this is a legitimate thing. They thought, who are you? What are you trying to pull? And I went, what have I gotten myself into here?
You're casing the joint. You're trying to find out who to rob. Is it?
That's exactly right. I did 3 days of that, and I called him back and said, my friend, I am so sorry, but this is not going well at all. But you do what you got to do till you can do what you want to.
That's exactly right.
That's true.
Well, due to the onslaught of the COVID-19 pandemic, we weren't able to get back to you for some months after recording. Was it hard to wait to hear how the song turned out? And what did you think when you finally heard it?
Yeah. Hey, you know, the waiting part, I'm in the music business, so it's all hurry up and wait. Secondly, everybody understood that what we're all going through. So I was just grateful to be a part and knew that we were all getting pushed back everything we were doing on any facet of our lives, including business. And so I understood that completely. And then I loved hearing it in the show. It's great to hear your song live. It was so interesting to hear it in the context of the show. You know, the stuff I knew that was coming up because I'd seen the script. So it was interesting to hear it played out. And that's just always exciting for any songwriter to hear your song come to life and live in a way that it was meant to live in the first place, you know?
Well, we just got a video sent to us from a fan earlier this week. A girl sent a video of her brother singing the song. She said he's obsessed with the song. He sings it over and over and over again. And she actually sent us a video of him doing it, which we won't share out of respect for him, you know, publicly. But we want to let you know it's catching on.
I love it, and I love the way he thinks.
What other kind of responses have you gotten from people who maybe heard you're doing a song for Adventures in Odyssey? And I guess, how would you sum up your experience of working with us?
Well, I think that the people that know the show are very excited about that. And certainly focus on the family as a whole has been just a part of, you know, my life and those around me for forever. And then the show's played out to the younger audience there. And so that was just, you know, it's fun to connect those dots for people, especially, frankly, in a business that's very difficult overall. So when something good is happening on any level, people get excited for you. And other than that, I love writing to a prompt. And in this case, it was the show, and I knew what it was about. So it was just about framing that whole thing. And when you write for shows of any kind, normally film and TV stuff, you don't have a story because they have a story and your job is to be the background. In this case, I was part of the story, so that was kind of a new thing to get to be a part of and just really a fun deal.
Well, it was a lot of fun working with you, and we don't know exactly what the future holds for Jules and her songwriting, but we're going to keep your number handy.
That's awesome. I'll be ready if you need.
Okay.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Warren. It was a highlight talking with you, and again, your song is a highlight of California Dream. So thanks so much for being part of the Odyssey family.
Very exciting. Thanks for having me. I look forward to talking to you more if it happens.
All right, Warren, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You heard a few versions of the song I'm Just Me in part one of California Dreams, but you'll hear even more in part two this weekend.
Let's hear a preview of that story.
On the next Adventure in Odyssey, Jules gets to pursue a career in music.
I am wearing a dress by Charisse Wheadle. It's made of recycled water bottles and kelp.
And her wardrobe isn't the only thing that's changing.
It doesn't seem like the Jules I know. It's not her.
Yeah, well, I don't know if she even knows who she is.
Don't miss Jules' special trip to California. Next time on Adventures in Odyssey.
Listen to California Dreams this weekend on the radio or on our website at adventuresinodyssey.com.
Or check out the whole album in the club on CD or download. You can join the club at aioclub.org.
If you have any questions about this album, we've got a Q&A coming up next month. So give us a call at 1-855-784-WHIT, that's W-H-I-T, to have your questions answered by our creative team.
And of course, always make sure you have a parent's permission before you call.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Again, the number to leave a comment or question is 1-855-784-WHIT. If you want to talk to someone in our contact center, call 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.